Are you looking to make some change this year in your business and maybe your life? If you are, then maybe we should have a chat. You can head on over to speaktopete.com and book in a chat with me, and we'll see if we're a right fit. Usually is around improving your communication, improving your process management, and improving your accountability within your business so that we can take away some of the frustration and give you back more freedom. Isn't that why you got into business in the first place? So head on over to speaktopete.com and let's have a chat.
All those questions can be characterized into those three bubbles. So picture these three circles that have this, you know, middle point that's comfort, security, and status. Everything a person worries about falls in those three categories. So that's whether awesome. I'm selling shoes or I'm selling software or I'm selling sales training services, I'm evaluating the quality of the thing before me. Truly, I don't want to have a broken pair of shoes or bad sales training, but I'm also simultaneously evaluating comfort, status, security. And when a salesperson understands that, then they ask questions that get the prospect to begin to share things. They may not divulge all of it, but they could give you hints.
Right.
They could give you information that help you realize, I can really help this person. And you have this moment where you see opportunities to be a guide.
Hey, it's Pete, and welcome to another edition of the Simplifying Entrepreneurship Podcast. It's the series designed to provide the tips and tools that will help you cut through the chaos and create the clarity that will transform your business and life as a leader. After all, you lead your business. It shouldn't be leading you. And today, I had the opportunity to speak again with Catherine Brown. She was on episode 11 a few months back. Really excited here to have her back here today as we go through a lot of things around her best-selling book, How Good Humans Sell. And today we're going to dig into the MVP list, the respectability scale. You know, selling doesn't compromise being a good person. And that's sort of all around the idea of her new book. So we'll dig right into it with my conversation with Catherine Brown. Hey, Catherine, thanks so much for coming back on the Simplifying Entrepreneurship Podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about sales today again, and it's just great to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm delighted to be here.
You know, one of the things that we just talked about a while ago, and it's like, oh, we have to do a podcast on this, is the idea that you came up with an assessment and went through what you called the respectability scale. We need to hear a little bit more about the respectability scale and how that all works with regards to salespeople, Catherine.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I have noticed for 20 plus years, my whole sales career, I've had a couple different kinds of sales consulting firms. And over the years of having dozens and dozens of clients, I've noticed that people in various sales roles hold back. They seem to be worried about being perceived as too pushy. They have what some people call reluctance. You see all these different ways that negative feelings about sales come up in people's behavior.
For sure.
And so one of the theories I wanted to test, and one of the reasons that I named my book, How Good Humans Sell, is because I believe that this is juxtaposing this issue. Can you really be a good person, a respectable, likable, honest human, and be wildly successful in selling? Or will selling compromise something in you and require something of you that will disqualify you from being considered a good human?
Right.
So to test that, I have done a lot of anonymous surveying. Mm-hmm. I made sure that people were professional full-time sales employees when they filled out the survey. So we, you know, threw out the people that were part-time or even the owners of a business who are the sellers. We wanted them to be sales employees just for the purpose of this survey. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is I named seven professions. I was testing this idea of respectability and what people think about the respectability of their own profession in sales. Mm-hmm. And I purposely picked a combination of blue collar and white collar professions. I even threw in a little bit of religion just to see. I actually thought that would get lower respectability just because it was such a wide sampling of people. And so I had religious leader / pastor as one of the choices. And how it worked, Pete, is you weren't ranking all of them against each other saying, this is most respectable, you know, lawyers most respectable and pastors least respectable. You weren't doing it that way. You were independently rating on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least respectable kind of job you can imagine and 10 being the most respectable kind of job you can imagine, you were independently reviewing each of the job titles. And what happened that was just so heartbreaking was that the sales professionals themselves ranked sales last.
That is mind-boggling.
It got a 6.4 out of a possible scale of 10, and everything else was ranked above it.
And they're working in sales.
They're salespeople. That's
their amazing. Job. Really.
And so sad.
It is.
So they would rather be IT professionals. They'd rather be doctors. They'd rather be religious leaders. They'd rather be plumbers. I mean, those were all other choices that were given to them.
Wow.
Or maybe that's not the right way to say it. Maybe it's not that they would rather be. They just said that was a more respectable profession. So what I'm wondering then and what I was seeking to do after that is say, okay, if this is the case, if overall we have an average of 6.4 on the respectability scale, what do we do from here? Does that affect our actions? And yes, it does affect our actions.
It's got to affect the mindset, right? How are you saying, okay, here's what we've got now, and how do we move them ahead?
Right, because what I have come to believe from my research is that actually you can't build a team. If you have several people, you're going to have a wide variety of what people think, no matter how hard you try to screen out for this. Because the feelings are not all overt. Some are covert, meaning some are hidden, even to themselves. So first, we have to know that that's true. So for entrepreneurs, for business owners, I would say it's true. And acting like it's not true doesn't serve us. We know it's true. Second, we talk about it openly, and we encourage our staff to begin to notice what they say to themselves. So that could be in the form of, you know, just in their mind, like self-talk, self-suggestion. It could be reflected in things they say. Let me give you an example. When a person says, I'm just trying to follow up, that has an implication, potentially, that they think they're bothering someone.
The just word.
The just word. So we want to notice what we say. We want to create a culture where people can reflect, hey, Pete, I heard you say this. Because these are also nervous fillers, so we don't always know when we're doing those things.
Right.
And so we train ourselves to listen to ourselves. We know what's going on between our ears. Nobody else knows. We start practicing paying attention. We notice what our coworkers are saying. We watch what kind of culture we're building. We're honest about this issue. And then there are other ways that you can go about reframing sales and building a different culture and even building different individual beliefs about what's possible and what purpose sales can serve inside a business. But you have to be very deliberate about the way you manage a team, what you encourage them to do themselves to build up these beliefs. There's steps you can take for that.
Tell us a little bit about your book that was recently released.
Thank you. So the book is called How Good Humans Sell. It's a combination of some of the things we're talking about here with some original research, how social science applies to selling. I talk about phenomenons like how does cognitive dissonance show up in selling? How does imposter syndrome show up in selling? We talk about the spotlight effect, like part of why people shrink back and don't pursue and follow up on leads as much as they should is because they actually mistakenly think the spotlight is on them and they think people are paying attention when they're not. So I look for where I can apply those principles that are coming out in social science and behavioral economics and then tie them to sales and say, this is still true here. Notice where these things are true. I protect the innocent. All the names are changed, but all of the examples of do this, don't do this are true stories of real life business to business clients I've served where we talk about times we were rewarded for being more persistent, common beliefs we want to notice that I was able to coach someone through. And so there's some live examples too.
That's awesome. You know, they're stories, right? And we're both sort of affiliated with on the story brand side of things with Business Made Simple, and you're a story brand certified coach as well. And, you know, those stories make the book that much better too, right?
Right. In fact, the last chapter of the book in chapter 8, it's not very long. It's 110 pages, not a long paperback. But in chapter 8, I talk about this hero's journey metaphor that is so popular among the Business Made Simple and story brand community. The idea is that everybody's on a journey. We're all the hero of our own story. When we make ourselves be the hero of someone else's story, and we talk about ourselves all the time in sales, then we're inverting the order and we're disturbing the order. Because what's tricky, Pete, is Hollywood teaches us to identify with the hero. So we actually think in sales that when we think about story, we think, oh, I have to tell stories about my other clients, or I have to tell you the story of how my grandfather started the company 40 years ago. But that's not what we mean. We mean they are the author of their own story. And then in sales, we come along as a guide, recognizing I have an opportunity to meet you just at this right moment in time, potentially, and help you with whatever is next in that journey. And when I see myself in that role, I should have more confidence, since in movies and literature, the guide is the one that actually is the stronger character.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I think some of the stuff you wrote, the idea that they're looking for status and security and comfort, right? And you're there to guide them through that.
Yes, exactly. So I put status, security, and comfort. I talk about those as what I call the MVP list, that every question a person asks themselves about their own motives for buying or their own values, they're measuring up and saying, is this going to get me where I'm trying to go? Any possible internal question, I mean, internal, like in the head and heart, the person is considering while making a purchase. How much do I value this? How much do I want it? Will this make me look good? Is this a threat to me? Will this help me get promoted? Will this make me get demoted? All those questions can be characterized into those three bubbles. So picture these three circles that have this, you know, middle point that's comfort, security, and status. Everything a person worries about falls in those three categories. So that's whether awesome. I'm selling shoes or I'm selling software or I'm selling sales training services, I'm evaluating the quality of the thing before me. Truly, I don't want to have a broken pair of shoes or bad sales training, but I'm also simultaneously evaluating comfort, status, security. And when a salesperson understands that, then they ask questions that get the prospect to begin to share things. They may not divulge all of it, but they could give you hints. Right. They could give you information to help you realize I can really help this person. And you have this moment where you see opportunities to be a guide.
And that's where you start really feeling good about your job. When we kind of started off saying that, you know, all of the respectability was low, it's like you start really feeling that power that you're contributing and you're doing really well. I'm excited to announce a new assessment on my website. Are you feeling like you're killing it in some of the areas of your business and life as an entrepreneur, yet maybe not up to your potential in a few others? Slide on over to simplifyingentrepreneurship.com and take the assessment to see what you're excelling at and some of the areas that you can put a plan together to work on so that you'll have an even better future. It only takes about 12 minutes and will open up some ideas to grow your business and entrepreneurial life. You'll find the Take the Assessment button in the upper right-hand corner of simplifyingentrepreneurship.com. So take the assessment and start building your plan for growth. One of the things we like to do on the podcast is give people a few actionable steps. And how can you be a good human and sell a lot more than you are right now? What would be a couple of good steps for salespeople and for business leaders that are listening? Because business leaders are selling every day too. They're selling internally to themselves, like to their own teams and all that sort of stuff. They have to sell their vision, and they also are selling externally as well. So what would a couple of action steps be as sort of a final takeaway here for the day?
So I think of two, Pete. One is, there are four ways that an individual can build beliefs that and literally change what they think about something. So many of us in, you know, coaching circles and things like that will talk about attitudes about money, right? Or attitudes about success, or what I think is possible for myself as a person. Well, anything we want to change about ourselves, there are these four steps you go through that have to do with you practice visualization, you want to have clear goal setting. There are these different steps. And so in the show notes, one of the things I can provide is I can provide more detail about the four steps, because we don't have enough time to go through all of that. There are very practical steps that an individual can take. The step and answer I would give, and this would be about really for managers and people who oversee a sales team, is that I wish that one of the things we would do is have some incentive and some performance metrics around referrals and qualifying and disqualifying sooner and just doing the right thing. So yeah. What I mean by that is the bigger a sales team gets, when you start to have someone oversee that sales team and be a sales director or sales manager, what they do is they're really obsessed about opportunities in the pipeline and days to closure and forecasts. And we understand why, because we have numbers to make and we have budgets to hit and things like that. But what happens is a lot of times there are actually incentives to not do the right thing and not really be a good human, because sometimes being a good human is realizing earlier, I need to give this person an out and stop standing in the meeting and acting like this deal is going forward when it's really not going to go forward. We don't have that culture, and we don't have a place where we truly reward and commend people or have strategic relationships where if someone's not a fit for me, maybe there's a place I can send them that is still beneficial to us.
It hasn't been accepted, you know, for a long time to allow that sort of thing to happen and to honor it, basically, for the client.
But then I think what that does is because people already are worried about respectability, as we talked about in the beginning, that reinforces the idea that really what I have to do is I have to push, even if it's not the right thing for you. And that goes against the guide metaphor, where the guide is saying, look, I can help you. I've got skills. But I mean, I'm not going to make you come along with me.
No.
Right? I'm going to offer. And for so sure. That's where we get to cognitive dissonance, when we have key performance indicators and metrics and reward systems that are not actually rewarding high sales and other elements of just being a good human being.
And I think that's a really good takeaway here, Catherine, because most of the people that listen to this podcast are the leaders and the entrepreneurs themselves in the business. And that's what they need to do in order to allow that to happen for their salespeople too, right? They've got to set that up.
And I understand. I mean, sales makes people's dreams. I mean, you need lots of sales to have businesses
for
flourish.
Sure.
If businesses flourish, then everybody flourishes. But I do think that as leaders, we have a responsibility to also be playing the long game and realize that when we do the right thing for that prospective client or this prospective customer in that moment, we will have a lifelong relationship with them.
The lifetime value, right?
Yeah. And so you want to be long-term minded and train people to be that way, because when you're a 27-year-old sales rep, you haven't lived very long. And so you don't think like that naturally, because you haven't had that many relationships that have been that long. But when you're a 47-year-old relationship and you realize you've sold to the same individual three times for three different companies because they follow you around because they like you.
And you've treated them well.
You see it work, right? You see that principle at play. So doing the right thing in this moment and having that be part of the culture, that helps being a great salesperson and being a good human go together. And that's what really reduces cognitive dissonance. And that's what everybody who's selling really wants. That's the way they want to feel.
I love that. And I think that's a great spot to end our little episode here today. Thanks so much for being a part of it again here, Catherine. I love to have you. And hopefully you'll come back again and we'll talk another episode sometime down the road on some sales and all the structures around that. I just love having you as part of this. We heard a little bit about your book, but why don't you tell everybody how they can get a copy of the book or how they can get in touch with you if they want a little bit more information?
Thank you for that. So everything about me can be found at my website, which is called extraboldsales.com, extraboldsales.com, sales.com. And so that there's a link to the book, which you can also purchase on Amazon, probably on all the social platforms. I'm most active on LinkedIn. I can also be found there.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thanks again, and really appreciate your time here today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, think about how you can apply today's simplifying entrepreneurship topic all around Catherine's book, How Good Humans Sell. And you know what? If you have the opportunity, pick it up. It's on Amazon, pretty much anywhere out there where you get your books these days. I've read it. It's a wonderful book and really will give you some guidance, whether you're leading a sales team or even if you're just the leader of the business and sales is a portion of it. It's just a really good way and a framework to look at sales. We talked about that respectability scale and how to create a culture of appreciation and support. The MVP list for guidance, you know, I really like that idea around the status, the security, and the comfort, and the four ways to build belief. So with that, I'm going to include in the show notes as well that link to get the four ways to build beliefs. And how to create incentives around referrals. So many good things discussed in a few short minutes, as always here on the Simplifying Entrepreneurship podcast. So thanks for spending some time with me here today. And think about these things. What can you do to put them in action? And that's part of what the Simplifying Entrepreneurship podcast here is. Short clips of good stuff that you can immediately put into action. So always remember, clarity creates confidence and confidence ignites momentum. If you like the podcast, please share it with your friends. If you know some other sales leaders, this may be a great one to share over for them, as there's so much good content here. For more information on my coaching and leadership programs, visit more.coach, that's MOHR.COACH, more.coach, or you can email me directly at pete@more.coach. Always lots of stuff going on. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. You'll catch the latest tips of the day and all sorts of different things over there as well. So until next time, make it a great day.
An Ironic Media production.
Visit us at ironicmedia.com.